I'm recording this right next to my window and it's raining quite a bit, so I'm really sorry if the sound comes through. I personally love it, but I'm really sorry if it kind of, well, I really hope it does not come through as an interruption or something annoying. Not more annoying than what we're going to be talking about, which might get a little bit controversial, maybe. I don't know. I'm just here sharing my opinion and my personal journey around this topic, which is the aesthetics of health. And sort of we're going to be exploring the inspiring and the disheartening of being that girl, which is a trope that I'm pretty sure, according to what I Googled, came to be around 2020, back when we were all in lockdown and we did not really have a lot of time to do anything else other than be at home, cooking, doing our own stuff, probably working out once a day, going grocery shopping, and that was pretty much it. So that girl pretty much is that person who wakes up really early in the morning, is really productive, is on top of all their activities, and cooks healthy meals, reads, journals, drinks smoothies. To be honest, it's kind of embarrassing because it's pretty much me describing the shit that I do and the shit that I say that I tell people to do on this podcast. However, I'm approaching this from a critical point of view because I think that there's value and I think that there's value in everything and there's pros and cons to every single thing, especially trends on the internet. So I think it's quite exciting getting to unpack all of this because I've had quite a few. I do have some opinions around this whole thing and I want to talk about them today because I have not seen a lot of content addressing this particular issue around kind of putting what healthy is or looks like on through the lens of like aesthetics or something that looks really good and that's kind of how it should look like. So I think it's quite interesting. My disclaimer is pretty much that, yeah, this is coming from somebody who probably does really align to a lot of the values that this kind of trope embodies. But on the other side, I acknowledge that a lot of it, I mean, most of it, it's kind of like around privilege and it's not something attainable for everybody. And I think that's one of the reasons why it could be quite problematic in many ways. So this is also not dietary or medical advice. You know that I'm everything but a doctor. We'll maybe be a doctor in literature at some point. Who knows? But not yet. You cannot call me doctor yet. So yeah, we're going to be unpacking a little bit of this whole aesthetic around health. And it's not just going to be about this like trope on the internet. It's going to be in general. It's going to be something that I have been noticing for a few years now. Growing up as a young woman and kind of being fed by the internet and narratives on TV, peers in school and institutions and everything. I think it's quite an interesting conversation for depending on sociocultural context, but I think it's something that we might all relate to some extent. So yeah, enjoy. Grab a tea, grab a little glass of water, grab some coffee, some snacks, some fruit, light up a candle. I'm truly very passionate about well-being and mental health in particular, and the whole narrative around deglamorizing what mental health issues look like or what a healthy life looks like. I think there's a lot of ups and downs, and the downs and the lower points are crucial to a healthy life, in my personal opinion, because I think that that's just like part of the whole process. I think it's actually quite unnatural having like this gorgeous curated routine. I think that particularly healing and getting healthy and doing whatever takes a lot of effort, and sometimes that does not really look very pretty. So I think I truly find it super interesting, like this, how we have given health a look and well-being a sort of aesthetic, And I'm personally going to share how that affected me, and on the other side, how that still inspires me and how I somewhat share some values around those little acts of romanticizing something as simple as going grocery shopping. But on the other side, I think it's quite important to acknowledge that this curation of the concept that we have as productivity, or, you know, kind of like labeling our day as productive or unproductive and kind of weighting our value upon those things, could be just an act of, I don't know, alignment to capitalism. I think to me, it was something that since very, very early on was ingrained in my head, you know, kind of like the look of happy equals healthy and skinny equals healthy. And my Tumblr dashboard, for instance, or my YouTube was just like full of these, like, I mean, still to the day, I feel like the health, the image of health that we have is like white, skinny, and pretty, I guess, you know what I mean? So I think it's quite Eurocentric in that regard. And for a very long time, I was kind of like, I don't know if this is for me, or I don't know if I could ever be this healthy just because I'm not white and I don't look like this. So I don't really know. So there was always like some sort of like dysmorphia around that image and absorbing or internalizing that image. I think we kind of naturally see women who take care of themselves or talk about, I don't know, like health or lifestyle or looking good or beauty as something seemingly superficial or something to be judged. And I think that we don't do the same for men. And I think that's a factor to consider when it comes to looking at these things. So I think health comes from within, and it's really hard to judge from an aesthetic or from physical appearance, even if somebody is healthy or not. So I think the inertia has become to judge someone from their body type or what they eat or what they don't eat or, you know, the products they consume, and kind of just be like, yes, they're healthy or they're not healthy or, you know, whatever. And I think that's kind of linked to also the amount of products that they can acquire, because I feel like we're starting to attribute these traits of what healthy looks like to the products that you use or the places you go buy these products or the clothes you're wearing. And I think it's super interesting looking at like also how it's kind of like a material trend. So yeah, I think there's a lot of layers to it. I hope I can fit everything in here. So prior to 2019, I fully was that girl. I don't even think that it had a name by then. I think it was just kind of like me being me. No, I don't know what it was, but I fully was, you know, like I was like truly waking up at 5 a.m. and I was waking up at 5 a.m. because I read Robin Sharma's, of course, 5 a.m. club. And I was reading like all these self-help books, like truly they were my thing. I was reading Atomic Habits and truly everything that was coming out on self-help. And I do find value in self-help in many ways. Like I think it's quite a great way to learn systems that may help routine if you struggle with routine, which was my case, because I never really learned to organize my time or the things that I needed to do based on my life as a student in high school, for instance. So I think reading those self-help books really helped me kind of ground and start to try coming up with a routine or a system that worked for me. So I think that's something that I take out from self-help narrative. However, I do have mixed feelings around self-help narrative, and I don't think it's something that we should push everybody to do, or I personally don't think that it's something that we should say or attribute as the way to go, you know what I mean? If you want to know more about my mixed feelings, check out my other episode, my previous episode. But pretty much, yeah, before 2019, well, during 2019, let's say 2018, 2019, which is like the years, well, the first year, 2017, when I like became independent, when I moved out of home, when I moved to a new country, I started life in a new country. That's when I was like super committed to being the best version of myself, which is so fair enough. You know, it's like, I think, yeah, I tried to approach adulthood with lots of energy and lots of enthusiasm. So I was waking up super early in the morning and I was meditating because I knew that I was really struggling with my mental health. I was starting to get signs back then that I really needed to cultivate a practice that would soothe my brain and my feelings and emotions. But yeah, you know, I was like working out and having smoothies and making my own smoothies. I was not buying them. I was making them. That's the year when I went vegan. So it's kind of, to be honest, like I'm just like full on this stereotype. And it's truly annoying. I think that's low-key why I'm addressing it today. Because I'm just having a really hard time digesting this. But, you know, working out and reading self-help and I still had my things to do. I was like working and I was doing some study and everything, but I was full on kind of still in quite a privileged position where I was not really questioning where I was not really seeing what I was doing as part of my privilege. I was just seeing it as something that was part of adulthood or was part of any adult who wanted to be successful. You know what I mean? I was kind of like seeing it as like me doing the right thing, me being healthy, or me trying at least to be like the highest version of myself sort of thing. Which in a way, I mean, it was a lot of effort and I do give myself some credit for that. But yeah, I was not really looking at it like, not even critically. I was just like not really acknowledging or even experiencing gratitude about the privilege that I had doing all of those things that at the end of the day come down to the economic capacity of whatever. Anyway, and then 2020, the pandemic happened and I started seeing a nutritionist. And I wanted to see a nutritionist because I felt like I was binge eating during the pandemic and I was gaining weight and I was not really motivated to do anything. Back in the day, like back then, I was not really cooking either. Well, I would just cook like a single meal. I was making curry every single night. And it was not like a dope curry. It was truly just like curry out of like this little jar that I would buy at Common Sense Organics, which I miss with all my heart, which would be the equivalent of like Whole Foods in the US. Maybe Trader Joe's? I don't know. Yeah, probably Whole Foods. Anyway, so I was doing these, you know, I decided to see a nutritionist just because I was kind of like off the rails with like my eating and like I felt like I was gaining weight. And I think I later on realized that me thinking that I was gaining weight just meant that I was truly experiencing body dysmorphia as well. But in reality, I was truly binge eating and I was just really having a hard time, I guess like everybody else. Anyway, I started seeing a therapist, therapist as well, but I was started seeing a nutritionist. And I later on, like months passed by, this is kind of actually really fucked up. She was like, hey, Barbara, I think, you know, it's been a few months that we've been working together and you have not really, I mean, you've maintained your weight, like you're working out and you're doing all these things and like, you know, you're like doing everything pretty much like all the good stuff, like, but you're not losing more weight. I think there's a bigger issue. I don't think I can help you anymore. And like, she stopped seeing me. She was just like, I think you need to see a specialist. And I was like, what are you talking about? What kind of specialist? And so she kind of like gave me the hint that I needed to like check on my hormones, on like my female hormones or like sex hormones. And I was like, I mean, pretty fair enough. I've never checked my female sex hormones and I have no fucking clue what that means. You know what I mean? So I was in New Zealand back then. Everything was like four times more expensive. And I was a broke student at the time. So I truly was not really in the mood to pay $2,000 to see if I had ovario poliquístico. I don't know how to say that. Polycystic ovary, but I don't know how to say that. But yeah, I was like not really in the mood to pay all of that money just for like a yes or no answer. Anyway, I started doing some research and I found these like studies sort of thing that would kind of like tell you if your hormones were unbalanced or if they weren't. No, if they were or if they were not balanced. So I was like, okay, this looks promising. So I ended up at this clinic, this amazing clinic, by the way, which now is the clinic that I still go to and get my goodies from. And I ended up in the arms of a holistic doctor who is somebody who kind of like approached everything. It was kind of like alternative. I don't know if alternative medicine. It was kind of like naturopathy. Something that you would also agree or something that you would not really be surprised to know that I go to. You know what I mean? Like it's truly kind of the sort of doctor that you would picture me going with, you know? And so I ended up with this doctor and I was just telling her, I was like, hey, like at this time, it was probably like 6 months after I was seeing this nutritionist. I was like fully depressed and I was like not eating. Actually, the main reason why I started going as well and why I suspected that I needed to check my sex hormones was because I stopped having my period and I was not pregnant. I was not having sex. It was truly because I was like my period would just like come around like one day. I would, you know, I would bleed for a day and then it would just fade and not come back till next month. So I was kind of like a little bit worried about these things, kind of like irregularities sort of thing. And so I talked to the doctor and I was like, hey, you know, like this is what I'm feeling like mentally. Like I'm just, you know, yeah, like I think at this time I was like not really eating much and I definitely think I had an eating disorder and my mental health was not in the best place and I was not bleeding and, you know, there were lots of things. And she was like, okay, this sounds kind of... I mean, yeah, she was quite concerned for me, actually. So she sent me off to get blood tests. I'm terrified of needles. Like, it's truly... I had, at that time, which was 2020, I had just had one, like, blood test taken, like, ever. And so I was, like, so terrified. But I was like, there's nobody here. Like, there's nobody else who can take care of me. Like, no one. I don't have my mom here. Like, there's no one. So, like, I better suck it up and just go get my blood tests. Anyways, it took me, like, a week to just, like, full on, like, prepare myself mentally to go there and get my blood test done. And so I did it. And it was quite miraculous because the needles were really, really thin. And I went on my own. And it was actually quite okay. And I think I felt really good about myself for kind of like getting, like just doing it. I remember taking my headphones and I remember like playing the same song over and over and over and over again. And then the lady was just like poking my arm and she was like, hey, we're done. And I was like, oh, thank God. I did not even notice. It was amazing. And so after the doctor saw my blood test, she was like, yeah, you're so deficient in so many areas. Like you truly need like... supplements and like doing these things and da-da-da. Like she sent me like, she was not a dietitian, but she sent me a few things to add to my diet. At this time I was way more connected with cooking already because it was like post the first lockdown in New Zealand, which didn't last very long because we contained the COVID cases and then we got over them and we lived normally for like 2 years of pandemic. And so that was already when we could do anything. And so I was already cooking every day and I was like still implementing the things that I learned with the nutritionist, kind of as in like portions and kind of like the same recipes and stuff. So I was not really experimenting much. I was just like following still the same meal plan sort of thing. And she was like, listen, like right now you can't really diet. I'm suspecting that you do have an eating disorder. Plus you are like, you're literally losing your period, which is so, it is quite concerning because when you lose your period, like when your period starts like reducing, let's say that it's usually 5 to 7 days. Me, it was usually 5 days. So she was like, if your period's usually 5 days and it's starting to be 1 or 2 days, that means that your body does not have like the extra nutrients or like even enough energy to to cleanse itself via your period. You know what I mean? And so she was like, and that just means that your body does not even like, it's not even in the capacity of like functioning properly and, you know, like having its natural cycle. And in that moment, I was actually like, I was so concerned. And that's when it actually hit me. And I was like, wow, this is, I'm so unhealthy. Like, for the first time in my life, I felt unhealthy. And I felt like I was a little bit scared for what was gonna happen to me. Because I was like, physically, I felt weak, but I looked really skinny. And like, people were telling me that I looked really good, as in like, oh wow, you've lost weight, or you look so skinny, great, sort of thing. I don't know, you know what I mean? And then mentally, I was just like stuck. I was like in this hole, and it was really scary. So I was like, okay, this is not cool. Anyway, and in that moment, I think that's when I realized that it's so hard to tell when someone is healthy or is not healthy. I think it's just us who know, and it's in the way you feel. Rather, I mean, of course, you can like, it's an external aspect as well. Of course, somebody who looks healthy might also be healthy. Like, there's a chance that it might not be healthy, but I think there's like a different like glow to a healthy someone. I don't really know. I do believe that people, like some people who are actually healthy, do look very healthy, and they, I don't know, you know, it's kind of like a coherent force of health that these people drive with themselves. But in my case, I was just like not healthy, and I knew it. And it was just like starting to really upset me when people were giving me all these compliments, just because I was like, I have never felt worse in my life, and you're telling me that I look hot? Are you fucking kidding me? Anyway, so I also realized that I was overworking myself. Like, even if I did not have enough energy to do anything, or I did not have the desire to do absolutely anything, or I was restricting my eating, I was not giving myself chance to rest, because I was obsessed with the idea of being productive and waking up early and working out and doing all the things that I was doing on a daily basis. So I, like, while I was experiencing this very low moment, this really low moment of like unhealthiness, that's not a word, but that's okay. This really low moment, I was not giving myself any rest or any chance to stop, or, you know, I was not changing anything on my routine. In fact, I was stressing myself more, because I felt like I was just being lazy, or I was tired because I was, you know, not doing, I don't really know what my logic was, but I was definitely pushing myself really hard. And I remember that my doctor was like, you really need to prioritize getting your sleep, like the basics. Like, she was like talking to me as if I'd never heard this before. She was like, this is really basic, but you listen to me. You need to rest. You need to sleep your 8 hours. You need to chill the fuck. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay, that's fair enough. And so I kind of like started to slow down. And I started fighting this idea that I was being lazy, or that I was being unproductive. You know, back in the day, I used to label my days like a good day equaled a productive day. And what was a productive day? Well, I would wake up early, and, you know, I would do all these things. And to me, that was a good day. And if I was not doing enough, or if I was unproductive, quote unquote, that was like a really bad day. And I would kind of like shame myself for it, which is kind of sad to think about now that I look back. And I'm like, wow, I was just 20, 21. Like, what the heck, you know? So yeah, I think that was quite an interesting time to reflect and actually kind of look at rest as something crucial and something part of the process that is not necessarily something we glamorize and is not seen on this like whole aesthetic. And my story, like, I'm kind of like bringing this whole thing up, because when I was experiencing like my eating disorder and my low energy and my lack of menstruation, if we can say that, or, you know, the most unhealthy I've ever been, was during a time when I was doing all the other things that looked really good on paper. You know, like, I was still eating really healthy. I was doing my daily walks. I was, like, working out and reading self-help and all these things. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that it's wrong or that it's even good. I'm just saying that they're tools, but it's not necessarily... I think health goes beyond what looks good on paper and what the aesthetic is. You know what I mean? So I think that's when I realized, I was like, okay, well, I think this is just, yeah, not healthy, but I look healthy, you know, because, like, on the outside, I'm doing all these things, but it went way beyond there. So then I kind of, like, everything started getting better and I gained some weight again because I lost weight. But I think I gained muscle more than weight. I gained muscle because I was working out and I was lasting more and I was giving myself time to rest and I would recover way quicker. And then my period got back and then I started having kind of, like, a healthier relationship with food, and I was enjoying what I was eating, and I was eating when I was hungry and I was not really forcing myself. So I think I was kind of, like, reinforcing these healthy habits that I wanted to implement in the first place, but it was more in the name of feeling healthy and feeling good rather than looking healthy and looking good, if that makes any sense, you know? So I think I stopped looking at all of those things through the eyes of this aesthetic, and I started looking at rest and the breakdowns and the crises and the uncomfortable moments also as part of the whole process of feeling good and feeling healthy. And, you know, in my case, healing from an eating disorder and a really toxic past with food and health. I think this whole thing came to uncover the fact that I did grow up with a lot of negative ideas around food and around what health looks like and what a female body should look like, or, you know, all these things. So I think it ultimately came to that, and I was healing from that. And there were moments when it was not glamour at all, like, not aesthetic at all. It was no cute at all. No pretty. I think that ultimately the narrative around self-help included, I think, and around this whole stereotype of being, like, that girl or being aesthetically healthy and aesthetically pleasing in that sense is kind of like a refined version of the hustle culture or the grind culture, in my personal opinion. But I just find it so risky, like, just encouraging people to look at their lives as more valuable or less valuable depending on how productive they are, you know, and looking at, like, leisure as, like, I mean, it is in many contexts like a luxury, but, like, looking at leisure as something that is just like not a question, and rest is, like, for the week, and, you know, that sort of thing. I really have a big issue with all of this, because especially I think in the first world is, you know, it could be an option for people to, you know, they could choose to do that, and that's okay. You know, gym bros are gym bros, and that girls are that, the, you know, those girls are those girls, whatever. But I think, for example, in, like, the context of, like, a developing country, like, to be honest, that's a luxury. And I don't think everybody has that luxury. And if, like, they feel the pressure to do that in order to, like, attain a healthy, you know, a quote unquote healthy life or healthy lifestyle, it could just, like, turn out to be worse, in my personal opinion. Like, I do feel like my habits change when I am in Mexico, for instance, and when I am in New Zealand or in France, for example. Like, naturally, of course, habits change and everything, but I do find a difference. And I used to be the kind of person who would be raving about, like, you know, for instance, like, being vegan and that everybody should be vegan, and being like, oh, whoever's not a vegan is, like, so irresponsible, and it's, like, so da da da. Like, I would really judge a lot. But then I realized that first of all, I'm truly no one to be saying that. And then second, I think there's, like, as much as I would love for everybody to stop eating animals, I think I should respect other people's lives and the way that they live and understand that not everybody has the same opportunity to choose their habits and the ways that they live their life. So I think it just comes down to the fact that if we do have a choice, we should be grateful. And if we live it, if we choose and live consciously, I think that's truly what matters. And yeah, as long as we're not harming anybody and we are, and we define what health actually looks like and feels like for us. I think when I feel the most healthy is when I feel energetic and I feel like my mind is it is calm and I can sleep and I can easily listen and connect to others and feel empathy. And because when I'm unhealthy or when I don't feel like I'm really on track with these habits that really help me, I feel like I'm irritable and I just suck. And nobody likes that. And we all have those moments. But you know what I mean? Like, I think it's really important to know and experience health on your own terms. Like, what does it look like for you? How does it feel like? And then you can consume as much content, because I mean, it's pretty wholesome, right? Like, there's many, many wholesome accounts and creators and like things like that that really truly inspire really good values around living your best life. Like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I think that when we come from a place of knowing what that looks like for us, we can actually kind of like take the best out of something and then leave behind what seems to be something that is not truly there for us, or it just does not really apply. So I think that this trope is still something that lacks diversity in the sense of like it just applies for a few, and it's quite still a hegemonic approach to health. Like, there's just like this one image, you know, it's like it's still kind of like a mold. The second point that I want to come across here is the fact that we are starting to attribute health to products. And I kind of very briefly went through that at the beginning. And I think that we are starting to connect a few things with this trend and this lifestyle sort of thing, lifestyle image, that perception that we have. Skincare and Erewhon salads and, you know, even diets. I mean, I'm gonna start off with vegan diet or keto or gluten-free or all these labels. And yeah, I mean, it is quite a product of capitalism to sort of, in the name of health, bring all these items in that make profit and yeah, just like profit out of people's desire to be healthy or ingest things that are going to make them feel better. And we attribute as like, ooh, the thing that makes you healthy. If you eat this, you're healthy. Or if you buy this, if you put it on your skin, if you whatever, you're healthy. Or you at least look like it, you know. And I think that's just the perfect example of how the market evolves and how we have power as consumers. It's quite extraordinary, actually. I think back in, I don't know, like maybe 10, 15 years ago, that would have been impossible to imagine that a kale salad was going to be around, like was going to cost $15, you know what I mean? But now, since the demand is different and since these things become a trend, they can profit out of that. And some people are truly, well, people, institutions, and businesses are truly going to take advantage of that, about the fact that we think that through acquiring things, which to an extent, of course, we need things, and of course, we connect with certain brands and their values and everything. I think it's so interesting to see that there's some sort of fear to be in the low or inhabit a void, right? A void, which is usually what I say here, which is a space like the silence, like just the space where it allows you to question and look within and realize the fact that in this case, perfection or productivity does not actually lead to happiness. So I think it's no coincidence that this whole movement is kind of glorifying productivity and not stopping and go, 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 go sort of thing, which once again, I think kind of like connects to the grind culture. I think it's super interesting that there seems to be some sort of fear to be in the low or to inhabit a void, which is usually what I say here, that is the perfect space to question and create and look within. I think we're truly not being shown burnout, which comes from a high productive lifestyle to some people, to some extent, and comes when it's when a high productive lifestyle is not handled correctly. So within that lifestyle, something as lacking sleep or slipping from your diet or, you know, whatever may cause imbalance that could really affect you in the long run or could really impact your health. And if you have the mentality of like grinding and go, 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 it's going to be really hard to address. And if you might even dismiss something that might be worth looking at, especially when your body's just like calling for sickness, is usually a call for help when it comes to these things. So from personal experience, I can say that I just kept dismissing all these things like an eating disorder and hormonal imbalances and everything, because I just thought that I was like tired or that I was being lazy or that I was not being productive enough. And that just really upsets me, thinking that we get this whole mindset given and very beautifully wrapped, ready to be internalized. And I think we should question that. I think also the risk of looking at things through a specific aesthetic or through committing to one aesthetic is that when we look at something through a specific aesthetic, we exclude other aspects that may also fit within that same category. In this case, health, right? If we look at, for example, the lows or those voids that we sometimes experience, those existential crises that hit some of us, we are kind of like excluding that from something as something that's part of the process, for instance, and we might even be harder on ourselves, overjudge, feel really bad, when in reality it's something that it's truly just part of it. It's kind of like the other side of the coin, and it's just a natural part of the process. It ultimately comes to a really limited view that is not looking beyond the hegemonic mold, which in this case for the that girl aesthetic is white and skinny women with financial stability, which is clearly not everybody's life circumstance. Lastly, I think that there's so much worth in sharing what works for us. I think that's probably the reason why I record these episodes, just to share things that work for me and just encourage conversation around instigating and asking ourselves basic things, you know, to just know ourselves and function better and, you know, hopefully have better quality connections with others and ourselves. But I think when there's kind of like this imposed narrative, it could be really dangerous and really damaging, and we should definitely kind of start approaching health and our relationship with our health and other people's through kind of with more distance and more respect, I think. Coming here and telling you, you know, about like journaling and meditation and everything, but not telling you about the moments when I feel very low is something that's not really honest and authentic. And, you know, even if like I do all of these things still, you know, like I feel really like probably the healthiest that I've ever felt, because I started looking at my health as something from within and something that I should feel rather than first above all see outside and see in the mirror. But I think that's, I mean, even if I implement a lot of like these quote unquote healthy practices and, you know, healthy values or whatever that aligns to this like aesthetic, there's days when I truly really struggle mentally and really struggle with lacking energy, and I don't really want to do anything other than sleeping or crying or eating or going for a run or binge watching something or doing nothing or just hanging out with people. You know what I mean? Like, I think that mental health, it's such a large, it's just such a large topic that we might not really understand just yet. And it's so complex and it evolves and changes with us. And there's so many factors that contribute to our lifestyles and what living a happy, healthy life means for each one of us, that it's just naturally, very naturally not possible to 24/7 feel happy and healthy, and that's okay. And I just come here to say that even though I rave about all these amazing things and I do sound very wise sometimes, I do really struggle with my mental health, and I have struggled with my body image, and I have struggled with not knowing what healthy feels like for me. I did not know what that was like for me, you know? And I think that the beauty of well-being and, yeah, of well-being is that we can implement very simple things and our minds and bodies respond quite well to what works for each one of us. And I think that's why it's an individual journey, but that we can also share collectively. And at the end of the day, it's something that we can learn from other people, from other sources. And that's why I find a lot of value in people who share their own journey and what works for them. And I absolutely, like, I'm a sucker for well-being, that girl content, knowing what really works for me and kind of knowing what to take in from there. So I think that we can all achieve being, you know, like the healthiest, the happiest, or the best version of ourselves, but from our own standards and not from a highly curated standard that we see online. That, of course, there's many things worth trying, but I think that it comes down to truly sitting down with ourselves and going with a specialist as well. Not just sitting with ourselves, but if we can go to a specialist, going to see someone and kind of like actually see what works for you and try things out and get professional help and yeah, kind of expand our horizons in that regard. I find a lot of value as well in the tough moments, in the lows of my life. I feel like they truly ground me. I do find weirdly enough, I do find beauty in those moments. And I think it's because they make me more empathetic and more human and more connected to others. I think that when I feel pain, this is going to sound so, I feel that when I feel pain, I can truly, it's like such like a, I don't even know how to explain it, to be honest, but I feel like I just become more and more empathetic. You know what I mean? Like I kind of like allow myself to feel things, whereas if they're like positive quote unquote or negative quote unquote, like doesn't really matter. Like I feel like when we allow ourselves to feel, we allow ourselves to expand and understand more about human nature and about us and about our surroundings, I think, in my personal opinion. So I think that those lows are part of our process, and if we have, you know, like a really low moment or something that does not really match with our mood board, it's totally fine. And there's so much outside our control, so fucking much. You know, this whole narrative of like we are the center of our success and we're fully responsible for everything that happens. I'm sorry, hot take, that's not true. I don't think that that's the case. To an extent, yes. But there's still so many things outside our control, and sometimes life is really tough, and sometimes it's okay when things crumble, and, you know, it happens. It happens to all of us. It truly does, to, of course, different extents and different dimensions. But there's things outside our control, and it's about these moments where we learn to navigate and where we learn what works best and where we are able to sympathize with the discomfort that comes with this journey of becoming, I think, in my personal opinion. Ultimately, committing to an aesthetic or feeling like we're far away of that, of achieving that quote-unquote recipe of success or health, yeah, is not really nice for us, for our well-being, in my personal opinion. So I would just say, question yourself and constantly check in and find out what gives you life and how you embody health and what that looks like for you, how that feels like for you as well. I think there must be a balance between things, physical things that bring us joy and bring us health, and internal things that bring us joy and health. So definitely try to instigate on those and yeah, stick to those and do the best you can. That's already, honestly, I guess what we're here for, to truly do the best we can and be happy and be loved and love. Okay, I think that's everything I have to say about this. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for staying till the end. And I hope you enjoyed, and I hope it was some sort of interesting thing to listen to, I guess. Make sure you share it if you feel like it's gonna be thought-provoking for somebody else. And you can rate the podcast as well and follow me and talk to me and send me recipes and photos of your dog. I absolutely love that. Thank you so much. I'll see you next week.